It's good to see everybody here this morning. If you will, please, I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I'll be reading that in just a few moments here. Yesterday, we distributed the Christmas food boxes. We had 17 boxes that we delivered. I appreciate so much the coordination of Mark and Cindy and Cheryl and others who are participating in that. Thank you so much for all the donations of food and money. We appreciate that very much. So yes, it's all right to praise God for that. We helped 17 families, and we're thankful for that. This whatever this is. Okay, there we go. All right. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. We're continuing our Christmas sermon series, God with Us. And today we're going to take a look at God with Us Brings Peace. So follow with me, Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." In the middle of the night in the hills just outside of the outskirts of Bethlehem, a group of shepherds were lying among their sheep when suddenly this blinding light, imagine what that would be like. This blinding light penetrated the darkness of the night, and a gleaming angel appeared to the shepherds. And being startled from their sheep, the shepherds were terrified by the happening surrounding them. And then the angel spoke, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to bring you good news that will bring joy to your heart and to those of all the people." The shepherds, are told that God's Son, the promised Messiah, the Christ, has been born, and they can find Him in a barn in Bethlehem, lying in a manger. And then in verse 14, a chorus of angels appear, and they begin to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men." Peace. What do you think that word meant to the shepherds when they hear the word peace? I mean, could this mean the end of Roman occupation in Israel? Will Jerusalem finally be rid of the Roman soldiers and their brutality against the Jews? I mean, you can only imagine the hope the shepherds had in that as it was began to grow as they saw this miraculous sight and heard those words. Peace on earth. Will you say that with me? Peace on earth. Now, Isaiah described the coming Messiah as the Prince of Peace, as we sang already this morning, Isaiah 9, verse 6. Jesus Himself told His disciples right before He was crucified, that Don just read, but let's read it again, John 14, verse 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Now, Paul, while in a Roman prison, awaiting possible execution, speaks of peace that surpasses all understanding in Philippians 4, verse 7. And when hearing the word peace, like the shepherds, most of us think of the end of war and the end of turmoil. And yet, daily, we turn on the news or we get into our social media, and we see pictures and videos reminding us that this earth will never know that kind of peace. In fact, Jesus didn't come to bring that kind of peace. Not now. I mean, we have to wait until His return for that, okay? But Jesus himself said in Matthew 10, verse 34, he said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And what he meant by that, my coming into this world has created division. Those who follow me and those who want to kill me. He also said in Matthew 24, verse 6, that there will always be wars and rumors of wars. So no, he's not talking about the cessation of wars. The peace that surpasses all understanding is the inner peace that is produced by one's relationship with God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace because it is through his death that we have been reconciled to God. Because of our sin, we deserve death. Paul tells us that, Romans 6, verse 23. And yet Jesus became God's peace offering so that we can have eternal life. Amen? No wonder the angels sang on the night of Jesus' birth on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, because Jesus came to make peace between us and God. And the peace treaty between us and God will never be broken as long as we continue to follow Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I want us to begin, first of all, today, to look at the peace the world gives. Again, Jesus said, I didn't come to give you the kind of peace that the world gives. Now, when the angels sang about peace on earth the night of Jesus' birth, the Roman Empire had been experiencing what history has called Pax Romana. Pax Romana, which means the peace of Rome or Roman peace. Beginning with the reign of Augustine, Emperor of Rome, in the year 27 BC to about 180 AD, a period of 200 years, the nation of Rome was at peace. They were not engaged in war with other nations during those 200 years. And their empire doubled in size, stretching from Great Britain all the way to northern Africa. However, the so-called peace was not free from internal conflicts. It was during this period of time that most of the emperors of Rome died by assassinations during that 200 years. The peace that Rome had with the surrounding nations was enforced at the point of a sword. You do as we say, and we'll be at peace. The Emperor Nero, having blamed the burning of Rome on Christians, began imprisoning, torturing, and executing Christians in 64 AD. The Emperor Titus was the general in charge of the Roman army that invaded Jerusalem and slaughtered Jews by the thousands and completely demolished the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So yes, technically speaking, there was peace from war in Rome, but there was certainly no true peace that came to mankind. There was no true peace in the hearts of men. So at the height of Rome, the Rome's Pax Romana, the heavenly host declared that the newborn baby was going to offer a new and different kind of peace. Again, just hours before being arrested, tried, and crucified, Jesus told his disciples, again in John 14, 27, the peace he came to give is not the peace the world gives. But what is the peace the world gives? What is this peace? Well, while researching this sermon, I asked that question of Google's AI. And it replied, a sense of tranquility and calmness that comes from external factors in one's life, like peaceful environment, positive relationships, material comfort, and absence of conflict. And I think that pretty well sums it up, don't you? That's the world's, you know, the idea, the world's view of peace. This sums up exactly what the world's view of peace is. But there was nothing calm and tranquil in the peace that Jesus came to give. In fact, Isaiah writes in Isaiah 53, verse 5, talking about the coming Messiah, he said that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. But what is the root cause of our conflict and turmoil? Well, say, who said sin? That's Satan, sin. We are because of sin, our transgressions, our iniquities. And because Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and commit sin in the garden in the beginning, this world has been in great turmoil and conflict and will until Jesus comes, okay? It will always. The problems and difficulties that we go through is all because of sin has entered the world. But then God sent his only begotten Son to this earth, born of a virgin, to live among us and die the most agonizingly painful death imaginable to bring us peace. It's what God has done for us. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter, if you will, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 21. Peter is writing to Christians who had been undergoing persecution and suffering. And he tells them, and beginning with verse 21, Peter says, these Christians, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. He could have done both. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins and his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Friends, because of sin, we were separated from God, lost, without hope. But our Heavenly Father sent his Son Jesus to this earth to be a sin offering between us and him. Jesus bore the consequences of our sin, submitting himself to insults, torture, and death on the cross so that we can have eternal life. And therefore, by his wounds, our sinful, corrupt souls are spiritually healed, bringing us peace. Amen? That's what God has done for us. So that brings me to my second point. My second point is this, that true peace comes through Jesus Christ. Okay? I want you to say this with me. True peace comes through Jesus Christ. Now, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, since we have been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So since we are justified by faith, now this word justified means to make right. That's what the word means. It means to make right. It doesn't mean that we are right, and nor does it mean that we always do the right things. But because of our faith in Jesus, we have been made right by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God's grace covers our sins. Romans 5, 20 through 21, Paul tells us. And that takes place in Romans 6, verse 3 through 7, Paul says, when we die to sin and are buried and raised with Christ in baptism. You know, these past few weeks, we have had the privilege of witnessing several people within this church who have given their lives to Jesus Christ in baptism. I took each one's confession, and Don Ralston baptized each one of them in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And every single one of them walked into the baptistry a sinner, but came out a child of God, completely and continually cleansed of all their sins. All the sins they've committed in their past, and all the sins they will commit in their future, as long as John says they walk in the light, 1 John 1, verse 7. Every one of them, you know, came out brand new, to walk in newness of life, completely cleansed of all their sins. Now, this doesn't mean that they will never have any more problems. It doesn't mean that they will never commit any more sin. It doesn't mean that they will never have any more difficulties. I mean, we still live in a fallen world, okay? But in Christ, the peace that we have is not the end of problems. That's not what it is. It is the end of fear that we can't be good enough and right enough to earn our way into heaven. And we can't. We can't not earn eternal life. It is a gift from the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is God's gift for us. That's why, again, Jesus reminds us in John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." That's the promise. That's the gift. That's the Christmas gift that God has given us. And it is truly the gift that keeps on giving. Amen? It truly is. So yes, peace. Peace. In Christ can even be found in a world of pain, heartache, suffering, and turmoil. It was one of the most poignant photographs from the Vietnam War. Let's bring that up, please. A little girl running naked down the street, her eyes wide with terror, screaming in pain after being sprayed with napalm, causing third-degree burns over half of her little body. Most Americans were deeply affected by that photograph, and they often wondered whatever happened to that little girl. 24 years later, another picture taken on Veterans Day, November 11th, 1996, reveals a young woman laying a wreath at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. And after she laid the wreath at the wall, Kim Phuc told the assembled veterans, "As you know, I am the little girl who was running to escape from the napalm fire after my village was bombed. I have suffered a lot from both physical and emotional pain. At times I thought about taking my own life, but instead, God saved my life and gave me faith, hope, and peace." Kim wrote a book about the harrowing day her village was bombed and the events that followed, titled Fire Road. And although she wrote about the physical pain that she endured from the burn, she revealed a deeper pain. She wrote, "What I desired more than healing of my wounds and hope for my heart was peace. But I did not find it." Kim had grown up in the Vietnamese religion of Cao Dai. She looked for peace there, but she couldn't find it. She then began researching various religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, but still didn't find peace. She then started reading the New Testament and discovered what Jesus did to bring true peace to mankind, how He was mocked, tortured, and killed. She read the words in 1 Peter 2:23 and 24, how Jesus suffered for us, and that through His wounds, we are healed. And she thought, well, since He suffered and was wounded, perhaps He could help make sense of my pain and at least help me to come in terms with my scars. She decided one night in 1982 to attend a Christmas Eve service at a local church. And she heard the pastor speak on the peace that Jesus came to give. Not a peace to end all wars, but an inner peace between man and God found only in Jesus Christ. She writes, "How desperately I needed peace. How ready I was for love and joy. I had so much hatred in my heart, so much bitterness. I wanted to let go of all of my pain. I wanted to pursue life instead of holding fast to the fantasies of death. I wanted this Jesus." And on that very night, she gave her life to Jesus Christ and was baptized into Him. She concluded, "When I woke up that Christmas morning, I experienced the kind of healing that can only come from God. I was finally at peace." Kim has since married. She and her husband live in Toronto, Canada, with her two sons and their families. During the summer months, she and her husband travel to various Vietnamese communities in Canada and also in the United States to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. On that Veterans Day back in 1996, speaking to thousands of Vietnam vets, Kim publicly forgave the unknown pilot whose low the napalm scarred, seared her skin and killed her grandmother and her two younger brothers. She writes, she said it that day, "Even if I could talk face to face with a pilot who dropped the bomb," she said, "I would tell him we cannot change history, but we should try to do good things for the present and for the future to promote peace." And she then added, "What kind of Christian would I be if I accept God's forgiveness and then refuse to forgive?" That's the peace on earth, goodwill to men, that the angels sing about in the hills of Bethlehem the night that Jesus was born. That's the question I want to ask you today. Are you at peace with God? Again, I think that we often confuse the word peace, the peace that Jesus came to give, with the peace that the world thinks that we are to have. And people, we know very plainly that we are people who know what it's like to hurt. We are people who know what it's like to lose loved ones. We are people who know what it's like to face difficulties and problems in life every day, every day. And it's all because we live in this fallen world. Because in this fallen world, we can never experience the cessation of wars, the cessation of difficulties and problems and all these things that we face, sickness and disease and you name it, whatever it is. It's always going to be here until Christ comes. It's always going to be here. And so when we begin to think that peace means that all this is going to stop, and that life is just going to be a bed of roses, and you know everything's going to be so wonderful and hunky-dory, you know. Is hunky-dory a word, really? I don't know. But whatever it is, it's a word in Oklahoma, okay? I don't know if you use it up here or not. But you know, we kind of think that's what peace is, but that's not the peace that Jesus came to give at all. And it's ironic that in order for Jesus to usher in the peace, he had to die upon the cross. He had to die upon the cross so that we could have that peace. That peace between us and God. The peace knowing that if I die tonight, I know without a doubt I'm going to heaven. That's the peace that we have in Christ. That's the peace that Jesus Christ came to give. But if you are here today and you don't have that peace, will you let us pray for you? Maybe the reason you don't have that peace is because you haven't yet given your life to Jesus Christ. I mean, I want to talk to you about that. In fact, today, the baptistry is nice and warm for anybody who's willing to just turn their life over to Jesus, to repent of your sins and say, "I don't want to live the life I've been living. I want to live my life for Christ." You can do exactly what Kim Fook did on that Christmas Eve. To submit your life to Jesus, confess your faith in Him, and let the blood of Christ wash away your sins in baptism today. You can do that today. We are here for you. Again, even as the Apostle Paul, you know, met Christ on the road to Damascus 3 days later, blinded from that blinding light when he heard the words from Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." And when Ananias came to him, he said to him, "Saul, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins. You can do that today. We're here to help you today. If you just want to come and let us pray with you, we want to pray with you. Whatever it is that we can do today, will you come?" As together we stand and we sing.